Yes, it's the new Hoagy Carmichael Show, something new, starring the gentleman from Indiana, the man who writes the songs America loves to sing, the composer of Stardust, Hoagy Carmichael.
Hiya, people. Now that you're here, let's have some music and cheer. Now, naturally, our cheer consists of Bob Sweeney and Hal March, those two mad men who are so individual they wear monograms on their straitjackets. And there's Miss Colleen Collins, something new in the way of an impersonator who has a voice to fit every occasion and personality. Our guest songstress, Miss Anita Boyer, will be ably augment the music department. Of course, she will be aided and abetted by the 17-year-old classroom cuties, the teenagers who just love to aid and abet lovely singers. And now, while we're in a musical frame of mind, I've got a tune that's right on the top of your list of favorites. So, Jimmy Higson, have at that baton while I serenade Evelina. Evelina, won't you ever take a shine to that moon? Shine to that moon. Evelina, ain't you bothered by the bobolink's tune? A bobolink's tune. Tell me how long you're gonna keep delaying the day. Don't you reckon it's wrong trifling with the April this way? Evelina, won't you pay a little mind to me soon? Mind to me soon. Wake up, wake, wake up. The earth is fair, the fruit is fine. But what's the use of smelling water, watermelon, clinging to another fella's vine? Evelina, won't you roll off that vine and be mine? Evelina, won't you pay a little mind to me soon? Mind to me soon. Wake up, wake, wake up. The earth is fair, the fruit is fine. But what's the use of smelling water, watermelon, clinging to another fella's vine? Evelina, my ever-loving Evelina, won't you try to be mine? No, maybe it was nice going. I'm not sure. But, Jimmy, what are you and your teenagers going to play as a band number?
Well, we're going to play that new hit song, More and More, featuring June Weiland on the harp.
Oh, yes, your new high school harpist. Now, how come you're giving June such a nice break?
Well, the other night she didn't have any way of getting her harp home, so I drove her, and we kind of talked things over.
Oh, and is that how you got those scratches on your face?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
Well, Mr. Carmichael, did you ever try kissing a girl through a harp?
No, I never will. So go on and play More and More with Miss June Weiland at the harp.
Thank you.
vocalist this week is Miss Anita Boyer, who has been singing ever since she was old enough to hold a note. You've all heard her on records with Tommy Dorsey, Artie Shaw, and other prominent musical organizations. And her contribution to Something New is a brand new song just recorded by a brand new company. And we're going to let her tell you all about it herself. Petite Anita Boyer. Anita, I know you're going to sing How Little We Know, but I thought I'd let you announce the number yourself.
Why?
Well, it wouldn't sound very modest for me to say that I wrote it, and that it's from my last picture, The Have and the Have Not, and that I directed the orchestra when we recorded it.
And that you wouldn't let me on this program unless I sang it.
Why, Anita, that's silly. I told you could sing any song you wanted to.
Yeah, but you also said no matter what I sang, the band would still be playing How Little We Know.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like that time we made the recording. Golly, I was so tired I could hardly sing.
Well, tired from what?
From holding that neon sign that said, "This is another Carmichael song."
Anita, will you please sing?
Maybe it happens this way. Maybe we really belong together, but after all, how little we know. Maybe it's just for a day. Love is as changeable as the weather, and after all, how little we know. Who knows why an April breeze never remains? Why stars in the trees hide when it rains? Love comes along casting a spell. Will it sing you a song? Will it say a farewell? Can tell, maybe you're meant to be mine. Maybe I'm only supposed to stay in your arms a while, as others have done. Is this what I've waited for? Am I the one? Oh, I hope in my heart that it's so. In spite of how little we know.
Very fine, Anita Boyer. And Jimmy, I know the brass section got rid of some of those fly specks they had a while ago. And now, folks, let's take a look at this laundry situation. Actually, it isn't as hard to get your clothes washed as you think. All you have to do is take it to the laundry. Now, if you can't find a laundry that'll take your bundle, then here is a lesson in the right approach by Sweeney and March.
Is this the we wash them and starch them and press out the sag, two in your bundles with one in your bag laundry?
No, friend. This is the hoity-toity, doity-shoity laundry. My name's March.
Well, my name is Sweeney, and I've got a little bundle here.
How sweet. Is it a boy or a girl?
Neither one. It's dirty laundry.
Is that so? How old is it?
8 months.
Coochie, 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 coochie.
Don't do that.
Why not?
You'll fray the collars under the chin.
Oh, that bundle's quite a whopper, isn't it?
Yes, sir, and I've got four more at home just like it.
Mr. Sweeney, how could you possibly accumulate so much laundry?
I'm the immaculate type. I like a clean shirt every month.
Well, Stop scratching and state your business.
Well, Mr. March, I'm desperate. I've been rejected by 50 laundries, and I'm not going to leave this one until you accept my bundle.
Okay, friend, suit yourself. George, make up another bed. I've got another dirty one who won't leave.
Oh, please, Mr. March, you just got to take my washing.
Well, I might consider it. Drop it on the counter, and we'll have a look. That's quite a bundle.
Yeah, I got bell-bottom pants in there.
Now, if you can stop scratching for a minute, we'll make out a tag. What's your address?
The Greyhound Bus Depot. And that's one of the reasons I'm scratching.
How come?
Mr. March, have you ever slept between two greyhounds?
Well, let's check the items here. See. Ah, we can enter these four pieces in our victory special.
Victory special?
Yeah. Three shorts and a long.
I see.
Now let's count these stock... Well, let's go, let's go. Now let's count these stockings. What do you have here?
Well, I've got 7 pair of brand new woolen socks, size 18.
Size 18? Size... Is that your size, Mr. Sweeney?
No, my size is 11.
Then why the 18s?
Well, Mr. March, when I send 18s, they come back 11s.
And when you send 11s?
Oh, they come back mittens.
My, they're certainly full of holes for new socks.
Yeah, could you mend them for me?
Not a chance.
Why not?
Mr. Sweeney, we just don't give a darn. Oh. Now, how about these shirts here?
Oh, what about them?
I see they have buttons. Would you tear them off, or would you like to have us do it for you?
Well, will it cost extra?
No, that's a free service, but there'll be a slight charge for fraying the collars and cuffs.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Fine. Now, would you like our speedy service, our super speedy service, or our service?
Well, is your service really fast?
So fast, you get your laundry back before it's even clean.
What do I get with your super speedy service?
Well, now that takes a little longer. We pass a moist sponge over the bundle.
Listen, don't you guys ever use soap?
Soap? What are you, an aristocrat or something?
Maybe I better just take the speedy service. How long will that take?
7 months.
7 months?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you send this stuff, to China?
No, this is a French laundry. We send it to France.
Well, can I get starch in my shirts?
Well, certainly. How would you like the starch? Light, medium, or heavy?
How about medium rare?
Do I get potatoes?
Certainly, on the dollar dinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got out of that one.
Yeah. Incidentally, I suppose all your help is experience.
Well, I only have one employee, my grandfather.
Well, isn't this pretty rugged work for an old man?
Oh, I should say it is. One day, Grandpa caught his beard in the mangle, and for 2 weeks, all the undershirts came out mohair.
Well, that's too bad. Do you have many accidents in the plant?
Well, last week, a midget brought in a pair of coveralls. We washed them and ran them through the wringer before we discovered that the midget was still in them.
Well, what happened?
Mr. Sweeney, do you know anybody who could use a tall, thin midget who's just been washed?
Well, now, how about my laundry, Mr. March? Will you take it?
Happy to. Will you call for it, or shall we deliver it?
I'd like it delivered, please.
Sorry, we don't deliver anymore.
Well, then why did you ask me?
Well, we like to give you a choice. Now about your bill, Mr. Sweeney.
Already?
Yes, Mr. Sweeney, we require payment in advance.
Well, you'll get the money when you do the laundry.
Is that so?
Yes, there's a few bucks in the pocket of one of those dirty shirts.
Well, that's interesting, Mr. Sweeney, but it doesn't pay your bill.
You'll get it, Mr. March. If you keep your eyes open, it'll all come out in the wash.
It's the teenagers, our high school hotshots, all feeling a little on the lonely side.
Thank you.
Darlene Collins is known from Florida to California as the girl of a thousand voices. And her unusual gift has been bringing cheer to thousands of returned GIs and convalescents at the many camps, hospitals, and canteens which she has played during the last 2 years. And although she has entertained in some of the country's smartest supper clubs, she is something new in radio. And here she is, the girl who doesn't have a voice to call her own, Miss Colleen Collins. Tell us, Colleen, when did you first start your career of forging other people's linguistic signature?
If you mean by that, Hoagie, when did I first start imitating people? It was when I was working with Rudy Vallee about 8 years ago at Miami Beach, Florida.
Well, Colleen, we're mighty glad to have you with us. And what are you going to do with all of these voices?
I'm going to do a little courtroom scene, Hoagie, where Jack Benny is on trial and Mary Livingston is the judge.
All right, and I'll throw in a little, hear ye, hear ye. Judge Mary Livingston's court is now in session.
Order in the court. The case of the people versus Jack Benny. It says here, whereas and to wit, the defendant, henceforth and hereinafter mentioned, is charged with cutting off Jerry Colonna's mustache. Boy, imagine Jerry Colonna without a mustache. Oh, well, Jack had to have a new toupee. Ladies and gentlemen, the district attorney, Miss Judy Canova. Well, sir, here I be. District Attorney Canova. Well, anyhow, about this here crime. I don't know who committed it, but you can bet he's the guilty party. And I got me a witness here to prove it. Mr. Tommy Riggs. So come on up here, Mr. Riggs. Leave Betty Lou down there and speak up like a man for once.
Speak up like a man, Jolly Ned. That's what we've been trying to do for a long time. But the doctor says we busted our sarcophagus from doing this silly double talk. Boy, oh boy, did we have trouble when we went in the Navy. Mr. Tommy told me to be nice to the petty officers, so I kissed one of them and they threw Mr. Tommy in the brig, so there, too.
Come on, let's get on with the case. The court calls the counsel for the defense, Miss Margaret Sullivan. Go ahead, Maggie.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Now, we all know the defendant didn't do it. He never stole anybody's mustache. He never even wanted to. It's all so silly. Why, he doesn't even like mustaches. As a matter of fact, he positively despises them.
Then why does he go around drawing them on Lana Turner's pictures? Call your first witness.
All right. I now call Mr. Henry Aldridge.
Hey, Henry. Come here. Henry, before you go up there, don't forget, you can always say you don't remember. Anything you don't want to answer, just say you don't remember.
Henry Aldridge to the stand.
Was someone calling I?
Yes, Henry? Now, all I want you to do is tell the court who you are, where you live, and how old you are.
Why, let's see now. Why, I'm Henry Elmstreet, and I'm 16 years old, and I live at 117 Aldrich Street. I'm Henry Aldrich, and I'm 117 years old.
Come on, Aldrich, did you see the defendant commit this crime, yes or no?
Why? No, sir. Yes, ma'am. I don't remember. Let's see who is ask Homer Brown.
Henry, I'm going home.
There goes the ball game.
Wait a minute, everybody. No, we don't need any more witnesses. I'm going to call the defendant himself to the stand, Mr. Jack Benny.
Jack? You can call him, but he won't talk. Well, why won't he talk?
Yeah, why won't he talk?
Yeah, why won't he talk?
Yes, why won't he talk?
Yeah, why won't he talk?
Why won't he talk? The girl is doing this. I can't imitate him.
In the month of January, 1864, our nation was in the process of being torn asunder by the war still raging between the states. In the midst of this conflict, the nation as one felt the loss of a single man, A man who died as humbly as he lived, Stephen Foster. Although he lived in the North, his songs knew neither boundary nor enemy, for he loved the entire nation and everyone who dwelt within her realms. He braved the criticisms of his Yankee neighbors to sing of the Suwannee River and a Kentucky home. His songs were not of war, but of peace and love and sentiment. When he died, they found in his pocket a title for a song, Dear Friends and Gentle Hearts. That title bespoke the feelings of the men at the combat fronts who longed for a friendly fireside and the company of their loved ones. I borrowed the title and tried to fit into a song the homely philosophy of Stephen Foster, for the thought behind it is as appropriate today as it was then. And I'd like to dedicate this number to the memory of another great American with a gentle heart, a dear friend of mine from Indiana who left his fireside and loved ones to give his life not only to serving his country, but in the service of his fellow men, Ernie Pyle. As I dream of home tonight in a dimmed out light and the cold rain of loneliness that starts, I can see a smiling face in the warm embrace of the dear friends and gentle hearts. Oh, to be there now with my darling somehow, ere a full moon again departs. If I could sail today, you'd hear me say, when the sweet homeward journey starts, that I will ever heed the steps that lead back to dear friends and gentle hearts. Oh, to be going back to dear friends and gentle hearts. On a green and distant shore, there's an open door and a sweet smile of friendliness tonight. In this gentle heart I know there's a tender glow and a love ever burning so bright. Oh, to be there now with my darling somehow, ere a full moon again depart. If I could sail today, you'd hear me say, when the sweet homeward journey starts, that I will ever heed the steps that lead back to dear friends and gentle hearts. Session will be taken up again next week, same time, same station. I hope you can be with us. So until then, good night, people. Thank you.
Forces Radio Service.